Perfume Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from Alice nella Città, and today I'm in company of Janet Wheeler, director of Jack of the Red Heart. So welcome, Janet, thank you for joining us.
Mille grazie. Thank you very much.
So, could you give us a brief introduction of your film?
Well, Jack of the Red Hearts is a fiction film. It's not a documentary, although it tells a lot about what it's truly like to have a child with autism in the family. What does it mean? What is the impact on the marriage? What's the impact on the other siblings? But the story is very kind of entertaining. It's a little bit of a caper that there's a teenager who's living on the street. She gets in trouble with her probation officer. She has to duck for cover. And so she makes a big lie, and she convinces the desperate mother of a daughter with severe autism, she convinces her that she's a trained therapist, and she moves into the house to be the caregiver for this child, thinking, okay, she's going to be there a couple of weeks, make a couple of bucks, and then leave. But much to her surprise, she makes a positive impact on this little girl. Meanwhile, the family, particularly the mother, is making a positive impact on this teenage con artist. And what started as a lie really becomes very true. And so you see what happens, the power of love, when people start to help one another, they themselves are helped. And so really, although the subject, the context, the circumstance is autism, the content is love. This is a story about family and about what happens when we give love and we get love and how we are all transformed by that.
As I feel that this is really a story about how people can connect and how meeting someone can really turn your life upside down in a very positive sense and makes you understand who you want to be in life, because that's what happens to the protagonist, Jack. She doesn't really know what's really her path, and she changes everything as she realizes what's important for her, what's important for the sister. Yes. So everything comes into place.
Yeah. Yes, in a way that's most surprising and least expected. Mm-hmm. You know, they say that grace happens when you're not looking for it, in the way that you never expect. And so, yes, it is for her a coming of age story, a story of becoming a person of integrity. From first, she's a person who's a complete opportunist and a liar, an exploiter, and she transforms into a person of great integrity. And so that was also very satisfying to be able to share that kind of a journey. And, you know, I think that we tell stories in order to explore what it means to be human and how to be human. And so I felt a great opportunity to, and I was very, very grateful for an opportunity to tell a story that can show some of that.
Plus, I remember that you did already a film on autism and the relationship between a parent and a child. Yeah. In Fly Away. But now you're also showing us that there are similar patterns in autism, but everybody is different from the other. So there's not really a way, if I understand it correctly, to connect with people. You have to, as the protagonist does, she finds her way to connect with Glory.
Yes, that's right. And because she's coming from the outside and she has no training, she has no prejudice. Nobody in a school told her, this is how you fix the problem. She's just seeing a human being in front of her and interacting as one human to another. And that's really what makes change, is person-to-person contact of our humanity one to the other. People who have autism are people, and then they have autism. They're not autism and somewhere in there is the person. They are people. And every person with autism is different, so there is no one rule. And my son has autism. He's 21 years old. He's done very, very well. I'm so grateful for the progress he's made. At the beginning of my journey into the land of therapies, there was a lot of dogma and a lot of rigidity that I didn't believe. It didn't sit with me well, because I felt they were reducing my son to a problem, as opposed to looking at him as a person who had some problems. And so there's been a lot of change in the last 20 years, tremendous amount of change and growth in understanding how we can all together work to fulfill our children's greatest potential. And I think the rigidity is going away.
What I like, what I really liked about the film is that, and I wanted to ask you why and when, is that you choose sometimes to show us the world through Glory's eyes, and it is a world full of colors.
Well, that was in the screenplay. I didn't write the script. A wonderfully talented woman, Jennifer Deaton, wrote the script. She was inspired. She has a niece who is very similar to the character in the movie, and in her screenplay, she created these moments. And then I found places where I felt the... So we always knew that we were going to show her point of view. And some places the script indicates where, and other places I felt, no, this is where it would happen and not others. It's a dynamic process when you're making a movie to find out what is the actual truth for the intention. We all start out with a bunch of intentions, and then when we're doing something, things become more clear. And there are certain moments where it was necessary for the child to have a big emotional reaction, to feel a particular kind of connection to another person, or to completely avoid connection and go into her own world. And so that sort of determined what she would look, when we would look with her, when it was important to be with her in the experience, when it was really, the scene was not about the little girl and it didn't make sense to go inside of her point of view. And the way I interpret it visually was that autism is a function of the human brain. This is not like, oh, Martians from outer space come and land on Earth. No. So we have to think about how does the human neurology function when it is overwrought. So when you have autism, your eyes see, your ears hear. The information goes in the brain and then it becomes very jumbled. And it's too much information. It's not filtered. It's like a traffic jam. So there's going to be an intensity. Sounds will be louder. Colors will be brighter. They'll also seem more dark, and because they're cluttered together. Everything is in the foreground. There's not a perspective. Also, people with autism, it's too much to look at the whole, so they look in small pieces. So what she was able to see when she looked at a face, she couldn't look at the whole face. She would look at a part of the mouth, a part of the eye. She would look at her mother's hands and feel the comfort of her hands. So all of these, what I understand about autism because of the research and the advancement in science to understand, because of my own experience with my son, and also things that my own son has told me about how things used to be for him when he was younger. That gave me a lot of insight. So that's how we did it. But really, who can really know? This is my, at the end of the day, it has to be my interpretation. I can't go inside of the brain of any other person. The fact is, right now I'm sitting across from you. I don't know what I look like through your eyes. It's all conjecture. So
from perception, yeah, you're right. It's always going to be a mystery. Then
everything is a mystery.
Yeah,
everybody else's experience and perception of things is really ultimately a mystery. The only thing we actually know is what's inside our heads, and then we hope that there's a common bond.
And so I think that's why, and beautifully true.
Yeah, I mean, but I think this also is why we, as a species, require story, because it assures us that we are not alone in our perspective. It assures us that if you share a story that moves me, then maybe inside I'm like you. And it bridges the gulf between human beings.
What do you expect from your audience today?
What did I expect?
Yes.
The kids. Oh, well, I didn't know what to expect because it was a much younger audience. I was very interested to see what they found to be funny. And it made sense, of course, that they had a lot of connection to the teenagers. So when there's a teenage romance in the movie, and that when that happened, they were very excited. And so, you know, of course, they see themselves reflected. That's going to be their point of reference, is going to be the younger character. So that was interesting to watch. I was very gratified that it had such a resonance, and very moved by how many people in this audience have family and friends with autism. I asked the audience to raise their hands. Who knows somebody with autism? Who's a family member with autism? I would say 30%, at least 30%. So this shows what a prevalent situation this is and how much that this story is speaking. This story, yes, it's universal. First and foremost, it's about love, what it means to be human. But yes, of course, we're discussing a specific circumstance, and it is a circumstance that millions of people every day endure, encounter, contend with.
Grazie, Janet. Thank you so much for sharing your experience and for talking to me about this beautiful film.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
And this is Chiara Nicoletti from Alice nella Città for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.